Hello world, we're Big Gay Nerds, an LGBTQ RPG podcast. I'm Jenny with a G, pronouns she, her, the show's founder and editor. Here at BGN, we play all sorts of different games, frequently swapping in between different systems with a mix of experimental one-shots and reoccurring campaigns. Our cast is full of queer friends who like to banter and bounce characters off of each other, and each game can feature someone different in the GM seat. With close to 300 episodes already recorded, we have a load of material in many different genres. This first clip is from our current ongoing campaign of Masks, A New Generation. Our young heroes are Juno, aka Starcross, played by Sarah, she, her, the Pink Panzer, aka Pippa, played by Saturn, they, them, and Luke, aka Photon Boy, played by Ellie, she, they. In this emotionally loaded scene, the team has just had an exhausting night of alien gladiator matches and government facility breakouts, and Juno's adoptive family of scientists have offered them a ride back to headquarters. Okay, so literally the next panel is going to be, like, you, like, standing at some street corner, then it pulls up, and the thing is, like, it doesn't make sense that he would be driving a minivan.
No.
But...
it's like an old station. It has to be an old station wagon, right?
Yeah, the thing is, there has to be enough room for all of you because when he pulls up, Sherman is actually in the passenger seat.
Oh. I feel you're shocking, too.
I feel like this is a immaculately preserved Studebaker situation, yeah. Where it's like, oh, of course, this is the kind of prick who does car shit, but specifically for, like, family cars from the 60s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my god. So it's, whatever kind of car it is big enough for, like, everyone to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the thing is, I feel like he would have brought, like, a high-capacity car because, like, he would have thought that, like, Pate would be there.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It might be, like, a company car is the thing.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
It's the company Rolls Royce, clearly.
Well, it pulls up, and Sherman is in the passenger seat. Just to review, Sherman is the... a more junior Asterian scientist who is sort of like Juno's big brother figure.
Mm-hmm.
The second time he appeared on screen, I described him as, like, me picturing him as a now defunct Simpsons character, which I can remember the name of, and I have since looked it up, and it is Charlie, if anyone wants to verify that.
Boy, that's a deep cut. Hold on.
Yeah, he's got sort of, like, blonde hair, glasses, He's just kind
of... the nuclear power plant,
is this a guy who I sacrileged by saying that he looks and or sounds like Owen Wilson?
Yes.
I think you might have. He might also have some Owen Wilson vibes. But yeah, that is
Great.
So he's in there and he waves. The back doors don't open because it's not a minivan. Mm-hmm. But yeah, y'all are able to climb in. And so yeah, there's room for all three of you, though it might involve a little squeezing.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably like a four seater in the back. You're probably good.
Yeah. Hi, Sherman. Hi, Adrian.
Hey. Hi, Juno. Hi, Pippa.
Hello, hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the ride.
Yeah.
You're welcome. And so, like, you know, the sort of the drive begins, and it probably would have been better if Adrian had, like, waited to start having this conversation. But, like, as you are driving, he sort of, like, looks in, like, the rear view, like, mirror, and he is, Juno, about what happened back there. And then there's, like, a beat, and then Pate isn't with you?
Oh, thank God. I can't believe Pate's already saving me again. No, Pate got a job offer, technically, kinda, I suppose.
Yeah, she's been working with the Immortal, and she got an offer to a sidekick.
Well, that is... That's certainly impressive. That's a real pedigree there.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as, like... I was trying to think of, like, how he would react to this, and, like... looking back over the stuff, I feel like he's always been, like, kind of unimpressed with, like, the whole thing that you are doing, of the whole superhero deal that you're up to.
No, that's fair.
So I think he's... I think he's being nice about it. And you know what? I think... Juno, he's not acting mad.
Interesting.
How's like, what's your initial reaction to that?
Kind of pauses and squints at him through the the rearview mirror, and is like, I wouldn't think that you would think that's impressive. She's like dancing around it.
I mean, you know, he's a big name, and I assume that all of you are invested in that sort of thing. But it's good to know that, you know, she's all right, and she's moving up in the world, I suppose.
Yeah.
Assuming that is how that works. You've been operating on your own as independent heroes, but she'd be a sidekick for a... You know what? I'm sure Sherman understands the whole system better than that. And Sherman sort of nods, and with that cleared up, he does then like refocus on Juno, and goes, so how are you doing?
God, does he really have to do this around my friends?
You know that he saw.
Yeah, he saw. Everybody saw, is the thing. I mean, I'm doing all right. It's been a weird night, but it doesn't feel as cataclysmic as it did earlier, so I guess that's a bonus. You know, I mostly just would like to go home and rest. And not think about any of this for a couple of hours, if you know what I mean.
Understandable. And he just, like, and he, like, gets back, eyes on the road, and, like, continues driving. And is this also surprising you?
A little bit. She was expecting him to be more combative about this, because he can be so, like, weird about, like, this whole situation, and especially, like, he was mad after the confrontation during the testing lab thing, right? Like,
right.
So this is an order of magnitude worse than just Juno losing her cool and finding she has a new power. This is, like,
exactly
almost opened a black hole in low Earth orbit. So, you know, she was expecting him to be a little bit more angry.
In that context, are you going to try and, like, do you want gonna to try and, like, figure out what's...
Yeah. I definitely want to try to, pierce the mask. That's the one, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right, that's what I was trying to think. Sorry.
Yeah, so in this case, are you going to do this by talking with him, or are you just, like, is it just the matter of, like, staring at someone's face until you have a revelation about what's going on with them?
Staring at his face through the rearview mirror.
Yeah. It's definitely, yeah, I think she's kind of, like, staring at him through the mirror and squinting, and then kind of offers very, like, carefully. It's just like, you know, you're taking this better than I expected.
All right, then, go ahead and roll with mundane.
Oh, boy. That's not a good stat for Juno, ever.
Pippa's not involved. Alright. Get involved with this at all.
Oh, actually, my mundane is actually a +1 right now. That's crazy.
Hey. Whoa, hey.
Yay. Yay. Although I have...
Good for you.
I know. Somebody was like, we're going to make Juno feel more normal.
Who could have done that?
Let me see. Make sure that I don't have anything to... Nope, I don't have anything to take away from it either. That's nice. Look at that, you guys. Nice. For once, Juno's feeling more normal, which is insane.
That's great. I hope it lasts.
I hope it lasts. Plus one. Did I do that right? That's a seven. Hey!
Seven. Okay, cool. So you can go ahead and ask one, what are you really planning? What do you want me to do? What do you intend to do? How could I get your character blank? Or how could I gain influence over you?
I definitely want to know what you're what he's really planning in the context of, like, what is he actually thinking about all of this?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. So I don't think I can give you a... I don't think I can give you that exactly. You mm-hmm. know, I've got to limit myself to the parameters of the questions.
Sure.
But you're looking to see if he's got, like, sort of ulterior motives, yeah. basically.
Like, what are you okay. really planning?
Okay, yeah. So you have, like, for, like, a lot of your life, you have, like, lived with this guy trying to, like, to use a metaphor here that may also be, like, a real thing, trying to, like, slip you pills in dabs of cream cheese, as it were.
Right.
I just realized that I might have, like, I'm talking about dogs. I'm talking about the yeah. way people try to give medicine to dogs.
No, I do that to my dogs all the time. It's cool.
Yeah, I was saying, not literally us going, he's been secretly feeding you antipsychotics.
You can tell, like, it's not that he's not on edge. He does look like he is really concerned, but you can he's going to drive you to your headquarters and, like, drop you off. There was no ulterior motives here besides, you know, the conversation you were presently having.
Okay.
And to, like, respond literally to, like, the question you gave, he sort of, like, sighs and says, I'm going to be honest. I am just barely holding it together.
Yeah, well,
but...
that makes two of us.
Very nervous laugh. But I am trusting you when you say that things are all right. We're probably going to have to do a check-in earlier than usual. Like, if you can make something work tomorrow, that would be great. But for right now, I'm trying to take things one step at a time.
Oh. Okay.
This is freakishly reasonable for me.
It is still extremely awkward. Luke is looking out the window at, like, oh, it's
time. Yeah.
Oh, man, I can really go for Sephora yeah. right now.
There's a consignment shop. I could even look at some furniture rather than being here.
Luke just sees, like a Lebanese place and is just trying to muster up the courage to say, like, hey, can we stop so I can get some hummus, maybe some falafel? I can really go for just about anything right now that doesn't involve being in the scar.
No, Juno just kind of, like, says, like, okay, and then leans back and looks at the, just kind of also looks outside and is like, thanks, Adrian.
You're welcome. And how's Pippa feeling about all this? Because it's the awkwardness and then plus the additional awkwardness of just being, you know. They, like, here's the thing. Like, oh my god, I just realized. Like, they don't know, do they?
Who?
That.
What?
Like, the
that this is the same, like, robot who helped her escape?
No. Like, well, you know what? You don't, you know, the thing I was thinking of, like, Juno's not dad doesn't know that you're her, like, not girlfriend.
You know, and I mean, for what it's worth, I don't think Pippa knows that yeah, she's that's Juno's good. Not girlfriend.
That was
totally
you, Chief.
Oh, okay.
I feel like there is at least, though, because I'm trying to think, I feel like this is a bit where, and like, it's hard because I feel like Pippa wants to also be considerate and not be too cringe in front of her not girlfriends, mm-hmm. not dad.
Yeah.
But there's a bit there after the conversation where, like, there's just a very light shoulder touch and just very quietly says, "For what it's worth, Juno, I think you're doing very well."
Thank you. I think this is going a lot better than I was expecting. I'll be honest with you.
I think there's always a chance for things to go okay. Despite, you know, the last several hours.
She just kind of like, yeah, that's what she does. She just takes like a big deep breath and just kind of like falls backward into the chair, like into the bench seating with Luke and Pippa. and just and hopes they get home soon.
I'm in a position to deliver cringe like no other, but I feel like it's something that I should reserve for, like, if someone failed a role or something.
Oh, no.
I shouldn't say it, or else someone's going to beg for the cringe.
I think now that you've said that...
You can't.
Like, yeah, why would you say it if you didn't want us to...
Uh-huh.
You're right.
You just want us to bark like seals for it. I get it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Fine. Yeah, okay. Fine.
I'm sorry. I'm good.
Just as everything is, like, diffusing and it's like, okay, everything's gonna be okay, Sherman sort of, like, looks over the edge of the seat, like, back at Pippa, and just says, "I think it's really cool how you saved the day with the power of Shoujo Eye."
Luke, fortunately, has no idea what that is.
Pippa just turns and looks at him, and there's very clearly a second where, like, she processes that, right? And then I have a question: does Juno know what that word, what that means?
Yes, like, terminally online. Of course, she knows what Shoujo. Juno is currently in the process of just like gawking at him and wondering if she can actually just open a black hole without having to lose her mind. Like, can she just have the whole van be sucked into a black hole where nobody is ever seen again? That would be great right now.
Pippa is going to lie here. As Pippa says, "I have no idea what that means, but I'm sure you must be right."
Oh my. Fuck. I'm trying to figure out if that's a move.
Yeah, I think it could be.
That's a move.
This is close to directly engaging a threat.
That's correct.
I think that's right.
You want me to directly engage a threat here? I can do that for you.
This could, you know what? Here's the thing. This could be directly engage a threat. This could be provoke someone.
I'm going to make the argument here. Pippa is defending Juno.
Yeah, you know what? Yes.
Yeah, you, good point.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that is definitely what you're doing. So we'll save
you. my savior's pretty good, actually. Wait, I have to make sure I don't have anything that's going to also impact that. I have... What do I have? I have guilty and hopeless. No,
and
I'm
also
right.
Want you to... I also want you to know, Saturn, that this is in fact your fault, because it is in fact all of the Yuri posting you've been doing that made this sentence manifest in my head.
Look, don't worry about it. I'm going to roll. Hey,
11.
Oh, 11.
Okay, so let's see.
It also defends Juno with the power of Shoujo Eye. Amazing how that works.
Okay, on a hit, you keep them safe and choose one, and let's see, is the safe you're keeping... I don't think you can necessarily defend her from, like, the cringe itself.
The mortification. But, like,
basically what you're doing is you are beating the allegations.
Is that what's happening here? It seems really like Pippa's leaning into the allegations and face tanking the allegations.
So instead what you're doing is you are making the best possible impression of like, yes, you know what, like my, you know, surrogate family, I am, you know, I am her
girlfriend, and I'm proud of it, damn it.
Pippa has created a response where it's possible for her to deny that she knows, to deny that she's a not girlfriend, deny that she has any idea what this guy's talking about, but also clearly position herself as the not girlfriend.
Okay, excellent, cool. So you do keep them safe, which I think in this situation just means
I think the
thing that she is saving Judo from here is having a condition inflicted upon her by this person who she knows.
You are protecting Judo from further teasing by an older brother figure.
Exactly.
Yeah, no teasing. Better yet, like, no questions.
That's right.
Like, by definitively answering that, he's not going to, like, later be like, so, are you, like, kind of in Yuri or something?
She would turn him into nuclear slag on the spot, like when you shoot someone with a plasma gun in Fallout.
Just a pile of ash, you gotta loot the bits, the caps, and stuff.
But you do get to choose one, which is add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
I'm going to clear a condition, and I'm going to clear hopeless.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I think there is a thing here of, like, Pippa just did something very socially adroit that also was kind of assertive of what they want and who they see themselves as. And it's like, actually, you know what? Things might not be as bad as I thought they were.
Yeah, okay, cool. I'm glad I did the cringe then.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad you did the cringe.
Thank you.
I have to assume it's going to show up in the recording. I could hear Ellie laughing, but it was at a pitch that Discord was not registering.
Discord just don't know that sound.
Yeah, I think it shuts off for like the safety of listeners at a certain
point. I will compress that in post. I hope you liked hearing that as much as I liked inflicting it. The second half of our sample platter is from our first game of Shinobi Gami, run by Ellie and played by myself and our fifth member Jonix, they/them. In this clip, Jonix's renegade ninja Seiko, an androgynous master of disguise, is tracking down the thief of a mystical artifact.
So even without, like, Mina's location, you could, like, you could pull her into a scene somewhere else. That sort of thing.
Okay.
Mm. Same for Jiro. Your location is more like, I don't know. If you want to target somebody for a combat scene, you need their location, but not a drama scene.
Let's see, a drama scene. Oh, gosh. Okay, so... So Seiko, they're going out to hunt down this dagger. I think they're not as aware of the person in possession of the dagger as they are the dagger itself. So I think they're going to try to find, let's see, what makes the most sense?
So, considering how information works in this game, I think you should, like each of you probably has, like, ninja underlings that you can consider to be canvassing the area sort of around you. Like, if you need to call them in to know something that you would know mechanically but wouldn't know narratively yet.
Gotcha. Okay. I think Seiko is going to set up... Is there a way to, like, set up, like, an ambush almost? Not an ambush, but, like lie in wait for a person of interest to appear.
I think that's
something I would like to do.
Yeah, that sounds good. You can't start a fight, but you can, like, you know, figure out what's going on. I like it. So, yeah, I imagine Mina's out celebrating her latest impending victory, if you what's like a good place? Like my impulse is like the sort of bar that Seiko is familiar with, but what are you thinking?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, like either maybe like a karaoke bar or something like that. Like they Mina gets like a private room.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like she probably has some like underlings with her, but then they like, you know, they go home and she's got like the karaoke room to herself.
And that's when Seiko pounces.
Oh no.
No, I mean,
yeah, says hello. Metaphorically. Okay, so I figure you, like, I don't know, sort of, like, appear out of the shadows quietly, sort of like Batman.
No, I think what happens is that they open the... Well, first, before they open the door, they sort of change something about their outfit. They, like, unbutton some things and, like, fold some things over, and all of a sudden they're, like, they're using their disguise skill to... Or maybe their apparel skill... to be in like a more traditional looking costume for a hostess or a host. So probably a hostess in this case. You know, it's not like a kimono, but it's like all of a sudden this has become a gown where before it was like a suit.
Oh, okay.
So that's part of their sort of setup, is that they have sort of transforming clothing.
Nice. So Mina is 33, and as stated before, she is dressed like Blade 2. So she looks up with a smirk and is like, oh, I didn't order any treats.
Oh, I must have the wrong room, but you... Are you here alone?
I am now. I mean, you can stay if you want.
Oh, sure. That would be great. Are you singing tonight?
Boy, sorry. Thinking out of character. Oh, yeah. You know, big fan of nu metal. Got all the... got all the Limp Bizkit hits. Oh god, I'm sorry. Yeah, so she's not especially graceful or charming, but so I guess the question, and since you're the scene player, you get to answer this, is like, do ninjas recognize each other, like vampires or whatever? Or
Well I think that some ninja might recognize others.
Gotcha.
But I think that particularly Seiko and her family are outside of that paradigm.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah. So I think like it's really obvious to like I bet someone from the ninja army might see someone from, I forgot what it's called, but like the agency one, and that's a ninja. but Seiko's whole thing is disguise and obfuscation. So I think Mina probably just sees a hostess maybe trying to get some business.
Okay. Well, yeah, Mina's receptive. So what are you after, and what are you rolling disguise for?
On the other hand, I think that Seiko is very good at picking out ninjas from crowds and things like that. Like,
oh yeah.
Because they also have the bluff skill, which works both ways in this game.
Oh,
like, it's not just about lying, it's also about discerning lies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that either disguise or bluff would work in this case. Essentially, Seiko knows something's up with this person, is trying to find out what they're celebrating what their deal is.
Gotcha.
Like they probably saw Mina and her gaggle of underlings go in to begin with. Like, go into this club and was like, oh, there's gotcha. There's a pack of, like, stupid junior ninjas doing stuff with like someone who's very clearly above their station. Like, gotcha. I should find out what's going on.
Alright. So, I would say for the considering your skills and for the sake of the narrative, you will learn that Mina has the dagger, whatever the case, whatever the comes up on the dice. So, would you rather, like, track, like, get her location so you can try to attack her for the dagger later? Would you try to, like, dig deeper and try to get her secret? Maybe set up, like, some sort of emotional bond to try to intrude on scenes and such later?
Nope.
I think I will track her. I think knowing her location and knowing where she's gonna go next is good.
Gotcha. So, considering that she doesn't know what you're up to, I think she is happy to, like, she doesn't go into specifics, but she's happy to brag about the sort of, you know, so yeah, me and my cronies have made a big score. No, so you're able to figure out this is who you're looking for. One and two, for location. I feel like you'd have a decently easy time slipping something onto her that you can track. If that sounds good, or maybe maybe you can like leave little like mystical mark or something, or like clothes that you can like find her by.
I like that.
Okay. So
yeah, like it could be like a little wooden idol or something that's like that's got, you know, that has some sort of mystical property. Just a tiny. I'm thinking like the size of like a thimble.
Nice.
You know, just a little guy. They slip into her clothes or something.
Nice.
Because I do have also sleight of hand as well as apparel, so it should be easy to figure that out.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, hey, wrong pocket, I don't carry cash. so yeah, if you want to
roll. Oh, my mistake.
Do you want to roll?
Yeah, I'll roll. Or so just 2d6, right?
Yeah, just 2d6, and the target number changes depending on what you're rolling. And in this case, 5.
That's a 7.
All right, yep. No problem. So you are, through your own means, differing means, now able to track down Mina and try to get the dagger away from her when the next cycle comes around.
Excellent.
So the groundwork is being laid. So there's an intro for the second cycle, and then maybe after that we like take a break or call it.
That sounds good to me, yeah.
Sounds perfect.
Okay. In the shadows of a dark alley, the light from a computer monitor engulfs the inside of an unmarked van. Mina rises from her cot and begins typing at the keyboard with one hand. The other hand slowly pops off the lid of a bottle of Yamazaki Single Malt Sherry Cask 2013, pouring into a small glass that sits on top of a metal crate filled with military-grade ammunition. That sounds kind of trashy. I don't know.
sounds like a bad time. You know?
2013 cherry wine? Sorry. No, sherry. I don't know. No insult to the fine people at Yamazaki. No, hold on. That's motorcycles. Keyboards. Anyway, she hits enter and waits. A few seconds later, a response on the command line. Agreed. $12 million United States dollars. The usual place, 48 hours. Mina smiles, tips back the glass, and then rises to stretch her tired limbs. The deal is on. Time to clean up before the guests arrive. Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. I just want to point out, typing with one hand while pouring wine is very funny.
Yeah, like, she's
had just waited, Mina. It's
this.
She has to have made a lot of messes practicing that, right?
Yeah, this does actually line up a lot with someone who, like, makes passes at waitresses while karaokeing to nu metal.
Yeah, true. Like, I really love how much of her vibes are just from, like, this, like, the scenario write-up is like, it's okay, I can play that. No problem. Okay.
If you want to hear more, we upload to SoundCloud, which also features a convenient collection of playlists, but we're also hosted on iTunes, Spotify, and probably a bunch of podcast sites I don't know about. Most of our social media presence is on Twitter, but we also have Tumblr and co-host pages, and all of those pages also have links to our community Discord. And if you really like what you hear, you can support us on Patreon and get access to exclusive content. Thanks for listening, and stay big, gay, and nerdy.